This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
What up? I am Jay Gray, joined here by Marco Coleman, 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351 or 1-800-355-NFL1 for those that don't feel like paying for the call. Wondering how many calls we're going to get today. I mean, if you heard Gus Bradley afterwards, sounded very disappointed. Didn't sound angry, just really disappointed. And I think that's a telling sign. And I'm wondering what the fans are going through right now. Is this a disappointing feeling? Or are they angry? Are they just like, whatever?
I think it's going to be feel the same way as Gus Bradley. Just disgusted. Because you're looking for improvement each and every week. And this was a week, man, that I thought after the game last week, I felt very good
you
going into this.
You were animate about this is going to be the win.
I was
this
calling the win. You know, and this would have been a good win, you know, but you didn't get the effort. Like Gus Bradley said that you saw last week. And it's not just the players. I think the way that the play calling was done, you didn't just let it all hang out. You didn't go for those sketchy fourth down and short plays enough. You know what I mean? Just taking the chances, no fake punts, no onside kick. I mean, it was none of those things that you would have thought we had expected to see against Denver, against this team. Why not do it for the rest of the season? I mean, why not?
Yeah, I think Roy Miller said it best in the post-game interview. Everybody's taking turns making mistakes. Mm. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that before, but it's true. It doesn't seem like when you have a good team, it's everybody's taking turns making plays. Everybody steps up. A different guy every week stepping up for this team. When you're 0-7, now it's everybody's taking turns making mistakes. Wow. Somebody's screwing up, whether it's Cindric Marks this week with his 15-yard penalty and what would have been a 3rd and 32, only down 7-0. You come back. Even if you come back and get a field goal, you're probably going to get good field position. Totally different ball game. Everybody taking turns making mistakes. I thought that was great that he actually said it, but just a horrible, horrible opinion.
And the bad thing about that is these mistakes are from veterans. We're not talking about, you know, the rookies, the ones that are constantly making these mistakes. These big penalties, these plays that are stopping the offense from scoring, they haven't been from a bunch of the young guys. Now, Cecil Shorts, they dropped a couple passes in the end zone that he should have caught. But at the same time, Henny not getting rid of the ball, taking sacks, getting you out of passing, out of field goal position. Rackley, he's young, but he's got some playing experience, getting a holding call, taking you out. Like I said, the call by Cindric Marks. We're not talking about young guys. It's the guys that you're counting on to make the plays that are making the biggest mistakes that are hurting the team.
Is there somebody on this team that's going to step up and make a play?
You know, it's – you figure you got a lot of games left during this season, and it's going to be
almost,
necessary.
The season's almost half over.
Yeah, but I mean,
next week, eight. You only play 16.
You got to take advantage of what you got left. I think there's still enough to go and start to build some momentum to carry on into the next season to get more of a positive feeling within the team, especially with the young cats. You know, and I just want to see, at this point, continue to play with your hair on fire like you did against Denver. I mean, and recognize that each game is just like, don't look at the record or who you're playing all because it's Peyton Manning. It doesn't matter. At this point, it's about trying to get a good feeling, and that's only going to happen by a win. So why not just, you know, double reverse?
When you were playing in college, did they have anything where if you lost, you know, you weren't – what consequences were there, like bus rides home, plane rides home, anything?
Well, I can honestly say while I was at Georgia Tech, we didn't lose many games. We had one undefeated season, 8-3 season. So, I mean, you know, I can't say too much about that, at least from college.
The reason I bring it up is because, I mean, there's a lot of people that are listening right now that play, you know, at least high school football. And usually when you go, you know, you play high school.
No talking on the bus.
You can't talk on the bus on the way home. You got a long trip to England. Is it going to be something where it's like no pre-flight entertainment? We are putting on game film with San Francisco the entire trip, and that's all you get to do.
You know what? When in my career, guys would always gamble on the planes. I mean, that would have been a big deal, a big punishment. You say, hey, we no gambling on the plane. You know, so, you know, long trip, man.
I'm thinking take all the movies out, take all the TV shows out, and put everything San Francisco oriented on there. Only serve Rice-A-Roni on the flight.
Oh, baby.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to the phones, and let's go to Joseph, who's driving home from the game. Joseph, how you doing, man?
Hello.
Hey, Joseph.
Joseph, you there? All right, lost Joseph. Let's go to Mark in Palm Coast. Mark, how you doing, man?
Hey, I've been a longtime fan since day one, probably been to about 90% of the home games. This was the first one, unfortunately, I got to go to this year. Three comments, and then I'll hang up. Number one is, I don't know who this in-stadium announcer is, but he's got to go. I mean, he's not getting the fans pumped
up. He's a rookie, too.
Boring.
Yeah, everybody's a rookie on this team.
Well, I mean, but he's a bad rookie. That's my opinion. Number two is, I don't understand why we waste the timeout to kick a field goal when we were down at, the 3, 4, 5-yard line. At that point, you go for it in this game, and if you don't, you don't waste the timeout. And the third thing is, you know, our quarterbacks are running for their lives. Does Gus Bradley, has he ever heard of a screenplay or a little flare-out that Jones drew to kind of take that pressure off, make him think about, well, we better slow down the rush? Have a good day, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, great thoughts. I mean, Marco, you were bringing it up before. They were throwing a lot of short passes in lieu of a running game. Didn't see a lot of screens, though. And you think when you're getting pressure on a quarterback and a guy like Kenny who doesn't move around that great, you'd see a lot more screens, especially the way Mojo, he was running pretty good today.
How about the first sack was on a screen?
Was it?
The first sack was on a screen. The offensive lineman let the defensive lineman go like you normally do, probably a little early. But Henny, he's not athletic. He just stood there. With a screen, the quarterback retreats. You have to go ahead and buy some time for the offensive linemen that are letting a defensive lineman go free and for the running back to fake like he's blocking and go ahead and go. Henny gets sacked on the screen. The first screen of this first sack was on a screen. So, I mean, it's certain plays that, as you recognize, they're limited because of the limited athleticism that Henny has.
It just seems like, you know, you had San Diego lose two offensive linemen, and the Jags still couldn't get pressure on it. Why is it that when other teams are losing players and bringing in backups and moving, you know, rookies to the one side of the line, mm-hmm. to the other side of the line, they seem to be all right, but the Jaguars just either are afraid to take that chance and do different plays because they got backups in there? I mean, what's the deal?
I mean, you got to. You don't have the studs up front to consistently just get pressure and beat guys one-on-one. Now, you got to give some credit also to Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers has big-time pocket awareness. He's not looking to run, but he knows how to move himself around in the pocket and not get sacked. You know, so
and he wasn't going crazy. He was just taking what the defense was giving him and chunking it.
Not a lot of big plays down the field. The big plays came when, like on the run. I think the runs might have been the longest plays that they had. I think, you know, maybe after the catch, but no deep balls. And that's the thing. They were allowing. That's how the defense was playing. I mean, we were playing not to get beat, basically, with that two deep people back, not giving away the big play. But you got to get some big plays on defense. You got to create some negative plays. You know, so. They got to bring some pressure.
Definitely not enough negative plays on defense. 355 NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Sarah on her way home from the game. Sarah, how you doing?
Hi. I just wanted to say that, you know, we're true Jaguar fans and we stay till every game, but it's really disappointing when the team can't perform. And, you know, the offensive and defensive, they didn't have any plays today, and it's just being really disappointing to go to the games and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, great point. That's the thing. You know, this is the last home game, or I should say last game at Everbank Field, for about a month, full month. You're not going to see this team, and the offensive performance and the defensive performance that they put out is not going to want to make a lot of people come back then in a month. You want to miss your team. When they're gone that long, you know, you're giving up a home game, mm-hmm. you're going over to London, then you got a bye, then you got a couple road games, you finally come back to Everbank Field. What kind of team are they going to come back to? And if they put up another performance like this, fans probably aren't going to take it for very much longer.
Yeah, but the thing that the fans have to do is take the perspective of the general manager and the coach right now. This season was not about trying to go to the playoffs. Now, I know it is disappointing to see them take a step back in this game, but at the same time, in a remodel, you know, as well, I know, you buy a fixer-upper type of house, and you come in, you got to just tear that thing out, throw out the sink, throw out the old bathtub. It just looks terrible. But when you bring in that new marble and you put that fresh paint and coat on that deal, you know, and that's what you got to, you know, envision and have the vision. Hopefully that soon that we, I guess Caldwell and Bradley can start to, you know, I guess interpret for us as to where that's going. You know, you'll feel a little bit better. But right now, it's a little bit of pain, a little ugliness.
Yeah, I mean,
in the remodel.
You knew it was going to be a rough season, but you just like to see competition.
Yeah,
you like
I agree.
To see close games, and when you're getting blown out, double-digit losses every single time, you can understand where the fans' frustration's coming in. 355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Henry, who's hanging out outside the stadium. Henry, you still tailgating?
I'm still tailgating, and I'm still have the same complaint I had last time. The Jaguars are not going to win a game or score a touchdown until they get some skin out of the stadium. I don't know what it's going to take, but the Van Zandt brothers are going to come out from the grave and take over. It's got to be done.
You got to
play
it,
gentlemen.
Man.
Yeah, Henry.
You got to go ahead and play the song, man.
You know what? Henry's got to come out, and he's got to start giving halftime speeches to fire up the team. That was good, man.
They got to play it, Henry. I agree, man. You know, you got to keep the essence of what, you know, of Jacksonville, man. That's what's up. I had to – come on, yeah, Henry. You need to talk to the DJ.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Coming back, taking more of your calls. You are listening to The Scoreboard Show. Get fired up like Henry. We want to hear from you. 355-NFL-1, this is The Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to The Scoreboard Show. That's going out to Henry, who wants more Skinner.
Yeah, Henry.
Scoreboard Show brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Gotta love some Skinner. I think he's right. Play some Skinner. Get people fired up.
Yeah, man. Get them going.
Need something to fire up this team. Fire up the fan base.
There we have it.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to John in Jacks Beach. John, how you doing? You fired up today?
Yeah, man. We need the announcer to get fired up. We need the announcer to fire us up and then not talk about the zero score and just get us all rowdy and get us all out there and just cheering for this home team. That's what we need.
Uh-oh, they need a new hype man. They might be calling for you, Jay.
A hype man? I could come in and be a hype man. Jay. I'll come in. I'll get the team hype. You know, jump on the field. I mean, isn't that, what's his name's, Jackson DeVille's job? Yeah. Isn't he supposed to be the hype man?
Well, you know, but he can't say nothing. You know what I mean? He got the mat. He got the head on, you know.
So you got him jumping off the stadium, me coming in and hyping everybody up, and Skinner playing in the background, man. That's all we need.
That's a wrap.
Then the Jaguars will win.
There we have
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Jonathan in Tallahassee. Jonathan, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Good.
Doing well.
Okay, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking what we need to do is, in the off season, I think we need to get more players on the offensive line, get rid of Blaine, keep Chad, and if Jameis Winston decides to go pro,
I don't think he can go pro yet.
Draft him.
I don't think he's allowed to go pro. I think he needs another year because isn't he a true freshman?
Yeah, he's a true freshman.
So he can't come out next year either way.
So, either way, when he does go pro, I want him.
He looked like a beast
gonna,
on Saturday night.
I don't think they're going to wait that long. They're going to have to get what's available right now. So.
Well, I mean, he brings up a good point. You know, I don't want to start talking about draft, but what is the biggest need on this team right now? Is it at the quarterback? Is it at the offensive line? Is it a defensive pass rusher?
I think it's on – I mean, the combination – you have to throw the coin up between the defensive line and the quarterback.
So you need to find an old Iron Man football player that can play QB and linebacker and just
go
tear it up.
Somebody, man.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Mark on the beaches. Mark, how you doing, man?
Hey, you guys. You know, everybody's pretty quick to say when a player does well, you'll mention his name, great catch, but I don't think we call out names enough when guys do a bad job. I think especially you guys need to call them out, and maybe that'll help spark some of these people. I mean, we need lots of sparks, but I think we should start calling out.
We need a drink of sparks right now is what I need.
Some of these people who aren't doing their job. Hey, when I don't do my job, I get called out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, and I'm sure Gus Bradley's calling him out, but yeah, we started off the show by calling out, you know, Cecil Shorts dropping two touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. We've been calling out Mercedes Lewis for not playing, and then he finally does. He
Marks
missed a touchdown
pass. Darn penalty.
I started the show calling out Marks with the penalty. Yeah. I mean, we're calling him out. At the same time, we called out Justin Blackmon early in the year for getting in trouble, and he's come back, and he's tearing it up now. Mm-hmm. Now, this game, not so much, but at the same time, when you show as an offense that you only have one, maybe two playmakers, you double, triple team the guy, take him out of the equation, make somebody else beat you. Somebody else has got to step up, and no one's really stepping up this week.
Well, you know, you got so many guys that are, you know, messing things up. When you're 0-6, everybody's contributing. So when you talk about, I talk about the entire front seven, they got to get better. You know, the quarterback, they got to get a new quarterback. I think that's a foregone conclusion. You know, those are the type of things we do address and mention. you got several guys, man, you know, and the whole remodel process. It's gonna look a little ugly in the beginning.
To call you out too, Marco. Have you tweeted yet, by the way?
Huh?
Have you tweeted yet?
I didn't hear you.
Yeah, we gotta call Marco. Every week we talk about Marco, whether he should tweet or not. He's still not tweeting.
I mean, I just haven't had the time to go get. I think I have an issue with my phone, man. To be honest,
blame it on the phone. You know, always making excuses.
Yeah, man. It's not the user. It's got to be the device.
355 NFL1 355-6351. Let's go to Bill on the South Side. Bill, how you doing today?
Okay, fellas. It's too bad we couldn't win one. But anyway, I was going to ask, do you guys think that Blaine Gabbert would have done worse than Henny did today? I mean, you know, of course, you know, Gabbert's getting chewed up and probably going to get spit out of the NFL before he's even there 3 years, you know? I hate to see it happen, but really, don't you think he ought to start in London?
I think it's going to depend a lot about the health. Another part of that is it's horrible to see because when you're going to get somebody that didn't watch the game at all, was running errands, but likes to maybe see how the Jaguars did. Mm-hmm. They're going to look in the paper tomorrow. They're going to see Chad Henne throwing for over 300 yards. And they're going to be like, oh, look at Henne throwing for 300 yards. But really, it was all mop-up duty. There's been no consistent play between the two quarterbacks
right. This
whole year. I mean, is Ricky Stanzi still on the team? Maybe he gets a shot in London, you know? Because neither of these guys have impressed me enough to say, yeah, that's definitely the quarterback going forward.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think the only thing that that Gabbert will do is bring more athleticism to that position. You know, as far as the inconsistency at quarterback, I think Gabbert is a more inconsistent thrower than Henne. Henne is just so sackable. And playing against a team like the San Francisco 49ers that have some outstanding rushers that get pressure on the quarterback, you need an athletic quarterback. Henne, 5-6 sacks against a defensive line that's not really known to get sacks. This next crew, they're coming to get you.
I wonder how Denard's arm's feeling. He used to play quarterback in college for a little while.
If nothing else, go ahead and do it. I mean, at this point, why not go ahead and let it all hang out? There's no reason to try to play this conservative style when just let your hair.
Yeah, I mean, if Henne came out this week and played like he did against Denver, there'd be no doubt you'd say Henny's the starter. But because of inconsistent play, you just never know it. And I think every week we're going to sit there and say who's going to be the quarterback basically for the entire season.
Well, you know, they went into that Denver game saying we're just going to let it all hang out, and however it goes, it just goes. And they played this game in a different way, you know, more uptight. Let it all hang out. You have absolutely nothing to lose. You're not going to the playoffs this season. You know, you're just trying to get a win, and you haven't gotten one. So just do it all.
That's what I mean. Yeah, but last week, you know, you're going for it on 4th-and-1, fake field goals. People are calling out Gus Bradley saying, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Come out this week, plays a vanilla type of offense, and calling him out again. So how can the dude win?
Well, right now at 0-6, he's not going to win until he gets a win. So anything he does until there's a W on that side is going to get mocked.
And whatever he does in that game, he keeps doing for the rest of the year. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Bob in St. John's. What's up, Bob?
Hey, guys.
Hey there.
You know, I'm watching the Red Zone Network, and I'm watching guys that used to be on the Jaguars roster last year on that 2-14 that was so bad. And I'm thinking, do you have to try to be as bad as this team is? And Marco just hit it just on the head. On the road, we let it all hang out. At home, we play the vanilla. And why do we do that? Because the St. Louis Rams are going to move to Los Angeles in 2015, and you want this team to really be bad so the fans don't care. And then that way you can move the team to St. Louis in 2015. There'll be the St. Louis Jaguars in 2015. My wife could do a better job than the head coach and general manager of this current team, and my wife knows nothing about football.
Man, let's keep a running tally. So the Jags have been moving to L.A., moving to London. Now we got this guy saying St. Louis. I mean, come on, the Jaguars are staying here, but wouldn't it be something? I keep running this scenario over and over in my head. It just seems like a typical, the way our luck has gone as Jaguars fans, for them to actually go out and beat San Francisco in London this week, then lose the rest of the game, so they would go undefeated in Europe, winless in America, just to fuel that fire more and more that the Jaguars are gonna move to London. Come on, guys. No, they're not going anywhere yet.
Yeah.
I mean, you can never say proof positive, but I mean, St. Louis, they've already been in L.A. They moved out of there for a reason. You really think they're gonna send them back, and then the Jaguars are going to St. Louis?
Yeah, I don't think that's something here in the near future. You see it, you hear about it. There's just too many plans in the works for here
everything. Partnerships.
You know, I just don't think
they wouldn't
that's
be doing
case.
That kind of stuff just to move a team. Come on.
Not at all.
355 NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Steve. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing great. You're doing very well. Thank you.
What's up,
sir, Steve?
I think what it is, the Jaguars is fighting hard. Number one, I want to say I love the Jaguars. That's number one I want to say, because I really do love them. And I think they are playing hard. You know, we're playing good ball, but we're just not winning no game. But now, they don't say they're not playing no ball. Don't say they're not playing good ball, but they're just not winning no game. Okay, now we got to just, you know, tighten up our strategy.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same
keep
point.
Keep playing hard. Don't give up.
They're
don't
not necessarily
up,
playing
maybe
good
you
ball.
Might take, maybe you might take a couple of the two quarterbacks, and you take let one of them. You got two quarterbacks now, right? So let one of them play one quarter. Let them play the other quarter. All the Jaguars is good. Everybody trying to win. Everybody want to win.
You thought we had inconsistent quarterback play before, and you thought we had a problem with, you know, guys getting in rhythm. Try switching quarterbacks every quarter.
Yeah, you know, they the effort is not an issue. I have to agree with him. These guys are playing hard. Even today, I think they played hard. No guy – I've been in enough locker rooms that I have yet to play with a guy that's not going out and giving their best effort. Now, sometimes you go out and you're just outmatched. You know, the guy is just better and it's just have a better day. I mean, those type of things happen. Today, the San Diego Chargers were just better, especially offensively.
Not to make excuses. I mean, this is the number two rated quarterback in the league, right behind Peyton Manning.
This guy's good, man. And, you know, and if you don't do anything, just like with Peyton, to cause those guys some unease back there, you can forget about it. They'll pick you apart like they were able to do.
They didn't have the same pressure they had against Manning, and, you know, that's why they were close for a while. They picked them off, ran it back for a touchdown. They were hitting them. They weren't doing that this week.
None of that. You know, just you can't make it a comfortable situation for Phillip Rivers, definitely.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Jags fans, score some great deals. See your Southern Ford dealer today, proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Coming back, taking more of your calls here on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
This Baptist Injury Report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. And one of the positives that come out of this game, no real major injuries. And we haven't been able to say that in a while, but that's the one good thing coming out is nobody got hurt. The guys all stayed somewhat healthy. So even in the loss, at least there wasn't magnified by losing one of your key players for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
No, and a lot of guys coming back, like Mercedes Lewis, looked decent. I wouldn't say he looked great. I mean, there were some plays that he probably left out there, you know, some catches he should have made, but.
Yeah, well, you got the one, the big play, got the crowd going, got the team down, moving down the field. It's just in that end zone, man. You know, as a 6'8" guy and you're getting covered by a guy 6 foot, man, you just got to take those balls. You know, it just got to be a win almost every time. I know sometimes it's tough, but I mean, it's not like you're playing against the corners from or with the size like Seattle, 6'4", 6'5" guys. Yeah. These guys were kind of small, and when you throw the ball up in the air, you got to come down with it.
Is that on Henny or is that on Lewis? Was it not thrown high enough where only Mercedes can go up and get it?
Well, you know, in this league, it's all about making spectacular catches. Even the best quarterbacks, you know, Manning, Brady, these guys are just throwing balls in spots, and they just got to have some guys that got to just win. And, you know, you can attribute that to him being a little rusty. I mean, you know, Mercedes hadn't played much. But those are the type of plays that you expect him to win. If he gets his hand on the ball, he's got to just snatch that. But I'm gonna chalk it up. I'm going to give him a break this time because of being out so long. But you got to get those plays.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Going to CW. How you doing, CW?
Fine. How are you this afternoon?
Good, man.
I'm down south of here now, but I lived in Jacksonville for over 40 years. And I think the team, I think really Jacksonville needs something to bring some enthusiasm, something that to put some more people in those seats. And I know you're probably tired of hearing it, but we got a guy that was born and raised in Jacksonville and played in North Florida and a Heisman Trophy winner. And I think he would bring a spark to that team. I know you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he played with the Jets, when he came to town, they filled up a lot of people in the stadium just to see him play again.
Yeah, but did he provide a spark with the Jets?
No, because he was
exactly
because they said he was, you know, he wasn't an experienced NFL player. But you got to look at the last game he played with the Patriots. He drove the team with two touchdowns, and that's a lot more than the Jaguars done in most of their games.
Wasn't that a preseason game against backups?
I realize that, but I'm still talking about, you know, we got talking about a Heisman Trophy winner and somebody that would bring a lot of local people into that stadium. That's all I'm looking at. I watched it today, and it was pathetic to see how few people was in that stadium. And, you know, and Jacksonville's becoming the laughingstock of NFL and a lot of other things. And I hate to see it.
Yeah.
I really do. And also, you know, the management of the company, But years ago, I had a little bit of doubt about him, too, when they let Tom Coughlin go, and he went on and won two Super Bowls after they let him go. So, you know, I've just got some questions about how they manage it.
Yeah, well, a lot of those guys that let those key players go aren't here anymore, and that's right. Part of the reason why they're not here anymore. And like I said, you're dealing with the hand you're dealt. You got, you know, when you got players that you either had to let go or on a 2-14 team, you got to start rebuilding and you got to bring new players in, and you can't do it overnight.
I got an idea to have at least a huge first half attendance. Bring Skinner in, man.
Leonard Skinner for halftime. For the halftime show.
Terry in Sweet Home Alabama one time. Hey, man, let me tell you, you're going to pull up the yachts out there. This is going to be a big concert.
You know, if you go down the list, though, too, I was looking at it earlier. If you actually go down the list of Heisman Trophy winning players and what they did in the NFL, the majority of them have done nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Heisman is only saying that you're a good college court player.
Yeah.
You know, you get this NFL, you know, that's the thing. That's the difficulty, the transition, because you're not just going to class and playing football, or you may have a couple times where you're playing against kids that probably shouldn't be on scholarship. This one, everybody's making money, and you're going against the biggest, baddest, meanest, fastest, nastiest dudes that you can possibly find on this earth. And hey, it changes.
I mean, there's a couple exceptions out there, but for the most part, there's not a lot of successful Heisman Trophy winners that have had great NFL careers.
It only means you're a good college player.
Will you ever come a runner-up to a Heisman there, Marco?
I was the finalist, third finalist for the Buckus Award.
Nice.
I didn't win it, but I was, you know, one of three.
Who
finalists.
Won it your year?
Anderson, a linebacker from Michigan.
Who?
Exactly.
Where's he at now? He's not on the Jaguar radio.
Even then, he was on special teams as a rookie. You know, me and Robert Jones, the linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys back when they won the Super Bowls. It was me, him, and Anderson. Anderson went to Kansas City, was on special teams, didn't do anything. But, you know, Rob and I.
You got the last laugh.
There we go.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Dean. Dean, how you doing tonight, man? Dean, you there? He's listening to his radio, and we're about to get to, he's going to be real upset because I heard me in the background saying the call. So he's going to be like, I'm here. Let's go to Karen, who's driving home. Karen, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Karen. Good to hear you again.
This is Karen Marco. Karen, fine. I still miss you before the game.
Hey.
I miss you getting your hug.
Oh, my goodness, Karen. We're going to have to figure something out.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How about you?
When are they going to put you back out there, sweetie?
I don't think it's going to happen this season.
We going to need, like, nice music to play in the background. You guys want a moment here?
I don't think it's – but you know what? You know, the Jaguar ambassadors, a group of former players, you know, we set up a tent outside right there under the escalator and sign autographs. Today you had myself, Kyle Brady, Brian Barker, Donovan Darius, and we were out there signing autographs before the game, and there's always some different guys, former Jaguars, that come up and make themselves available to, you know, still come chat and have a good time with the fans and, you know, and show our appreciation for still coming out.
Where's the tent?
Come gate one, right under
the
elevator.
The escalators heading to the bud zone?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay, because we come in gate one.
Yeah, we were definitely.
And you used to be right to the left there, but yeah. I don't see anything.
Yeah, we won't be there. But, you know, again, you can find some former Jaguar players before every game, every home game, whether it's not myself or one of the guys or group, basically, right there, sign autographs with a couple of the Jags Steelers, too. So come on out.
You should just start making personal appearances. Why don't you just hang out outside of gate one? Just you there, just hanging out. Just like, hey, I'm Marco.
I might have to do that, man. You know, show a little love and appreciation for people like Karen. Thanks, Karen.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Lucas on the north side. Lucas, how you doing?
Hey, I just think it's really ridiculous the call before the last one, you know, talking about Tebow and all this stuff. Like, look, you know, this year was all about deciding, can Gabbert do it? I think that ship has already sailed, you know, and he's proven that he can do it. And we all know Henny isn't going to be our long-term answer. So I got news for everyone. Jaguars already got their quarterback. His name's Marcus Mariota, and he plays for Oregon. And, you know, he's our guy. I think Jaguar fans should be excited. This is a quarterback-heavy draft.
I'm surprised you didn't go Teddy Bridgewater there.
Nah. He's too small. Too small frame. and he lost to UCF. But you know, this is the prime time to have the top pick. you know, you have your selection of a very heavy quarterback draft. You're going to get your franchise guy if you choose correctly. I guarantee you there's a franchise quarterback coming out. You know, so you just take your quarterback and you move on. You have guys like Henny who can't throw, you know, no touchdown today. He threw a pick. You know, and, you know, you can talk about the drops and you can talk about all these things, but it's a little different. You know, when Peyton Manning's throwing you the ball, you know, you kind of go after it a little more because you know – you know, it's coming from Peyton Manning. I think there's something there whenever you know, more confidence in the quarterback. So everyone just needs to chill out. Everything's gonna be all right. You know, we're gonna bring in Mariota next year, and you know, he's probably gonna light it up.
I'm going to mark that down. Yeah. Thank you for the call. That's the first I've heard that name being thrown out.
We don't see him a lot because of the, you know, all we do is see darn SEC and a little ACC. But, you know, you got to recognize that guy. He's out there. He's a playmaker, and he's exciting. You know, there's still that Oregon ball out there. There's a couple quarterbacks on the West Coast that we don't see a lot of. It's only the media makes a big deal about these few guys in this region. But, shoot, man, there are some more. There's going to be plenty of quarterbacks to choose from. Next season, it's a big decision for those guys next year.
355 NFL one. That's 355-6351. Going to Bobby on the South Side. Bobby, how you doing?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Good,
what's up, Bobby.
I'm just gonna give a shout out to the wide receiver corps, Brown, Blackman, and Shorts. They're doing something out there. They're showing a little promise. I wish Cecil Shorts would hold on a couple of them balls in the end zone, man. Otherwise, he probably have about four or five touchdowns on his stat sheet. And another thing was, Henny didn't play horrible today. The first half, we only had two offensive series the whole first half. That's just unacceptable. And the other guy who called about Marcus Mariota or the guy from Oregon, I don't feel like watching 2 years trying to find another quarterback who can take snaps from underneath the center. So Jaguars need to take Teddy Bridgewater. He's bigger than Breeze and Russell Wilson. They're doing just fine. So I'll take everything off there, and y'all have a good afternoon.
Yeah, you know what I'd say? I say let's get the pass rusher this year, then go after the Florida State guy in 2 years. that's my opinion, but hey.
Yeah, well, shoot, you know, like you said, Chad, he's just limited in what he's able to do. Right now, he just doesn't have the presence in the pocket to move around, to get himself some space to make all the throws. If it's a clean pocket, he can find people to make pretty good throws. But if there's any kind of rush, which in this NFL, you can pretty much count on a lot of rush, he just can't evade it. And he holds the ball sometimes a little bit too long, which, you know, you got to have an outstanding offensive line, which the offensive line is not bad, but it's not the kind where you can just stand there and pat the rock and think they're going to hold up all day.
355 NFL one. That's 355-6351. Going to Tony at the beaches. Tony, how you doing?
Yeah, hey guys, I really like your show, and I really appreciate you guys being candid with us, because a lot of times we don't have insight to what is really going on, and that's the reason why I'm calling. I wanted to know, assuming we take a quarterback next year, what would you guys take? What positions would you draft after that? And one more thing, I don't want to hear anybody tell me that about Jacksonville, the city, because I don't care how they do it in New York. I don't care how they do it in L.A. I don't care how you do it in Indianapolis. I love Jacksonville, and I love bringing up my family here. Go Jags.
Okay, thanks for the call. I mean, after the quarterback position, you need a pass rusher and need to shore up that offensive line. I think it depends who's the best on the board, but I really think the pass rusher is what's really needed here.
Yeah, running back too. I think it needs an upgrade at their running position. The running game is not it's not where it was. Maurice is showing some flashes here and there, but I think, you know, as he's getting a little older,
it'd be nice to have somebody take that load off of him.
A stout guy. I mean, Todman is not bad. Forsett. These guys aren't.
These guys are coming in for a play or two. You're thinking about somebody like a 50-50, like when Maurice first got here, him and Fred, how they used to share the rock. And
yeah, you only really need a good two-headed monster, and you know, so you know, I think a running back would be something that they'll be looking at also.
Taking your calls at 355 NFL one. That's 355-6351. After the break, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Coming right back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Yeah,
Buehler Switch Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Buehler Switch Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Back on the Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Going back to the calls, let's go to Dean on the south side. Dean, how you doing, man?
Hey, good afternoon. Hey, as a season ticket holder, I understand, so I got skin in the game. The way the NFL's structured is good and bad teams, and the way you replenish is through the draft. But, you know, it just amazes me. You know, I know it's really talk about the draft, but, you know, going to both extremes, I just got back from St. Louis, and I talked to numerous folks, and it seemed like Blaine Gabbert wasn't all that impressive to them. And, you know, meanwhile, Gene Smith took him. And then R.J. Sauer, when I first moved here from Southern California, was drafted by the Jags. So if you're going to replenish a team, hopefully the folks we got in place now, Mr. Caldwell and Gus Bradley, can get the right players there, because I think that's what hurt the Jags. I mean, two drafts, Leftwich and Gabbert, and if a bad quarterback draft puts you 5 years behind, then we're 10 years behind the power curve.
Well, I mean, just so look at all of our number one picks over the last few years. I mean, how many are still with the team? One, two,
yeah.
Two?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, though, is it's just replenishment to go from a bad team or a mediocre team to a good team is through the draft. And obviously Gene Smith was worrying about, you know, drafting someone that was, you know, his next-door neighbor, where it was more important to get people in here who can play NFL football. Obviously, Blaine Gabbert, from folks I talked to in Missouri over the weekend, just weren't too impressed with him. So I don't know what Gene Smith saw on him, but obviously we haven't seen much in 3 years. But the Jags, like I said, I agree with what you're saying to the earlier caller. They're staying here. I think it's a great NFL town, and I just think we need to get some winning. And I think Mr. Caldwell and Gus Bradley are definitely the team to get it going.
Yeah, good points.
Yeah, you figure Caldwell, he's a rookie, and it's his first time out, but you got to look at the lineage. This guy came from the, he's a descendant of Bill Polian.
Everywhere he's been,
yeah,
been winners.
Yeah, he's been around some of the most outstanding executive of
Atlanta's
executive
one of the
guys.
Best regular season teams in the past years.
Yeah, so if he's been taking good notes, I think, you know, it's some good things are going to happen. You got to give him a chance. Like I say, he just got here in February, you know, and they're getting themselves in a position, making the decisions. How we're viewing the team, or a lot of the fans, I won't even say me, because I understand what Caldwell and those guys are doing. You got to look at it in that light, how there's a plan in place as to putting this team together. And this year, they knew they were going to take some lumps. He looks at the roster. He's been on enough good teams and saw outstanding players to know that they are a little deficient in certain areas. But I have to trust until we see something different. This first draft was really good. You figure Ace Sanders. You got Luke Joeckel. He was playing pretty well. You Denard Robinson, but, you know, verdict is still out. Cyprian, Josh Evans. Gratz, you know, he got banged up. But all these guys, these young guys, they've been playing well.
Everybody wants to talk about when Gene Smith drafted, missing out on J.J. Watt to take Blaine Gabbert, missing out on Russell Wilson to take the punter. You're looking at this draft already this year, and the Jaguars traded the final day. They had the first pick. Matt Barkley was on the board. People thought they were going to take him, drafted, traded away. Philadelphia took Matt Barkley. He mm-hmm. played today. Three interceptions in less than 20 in less than 20 attempts. It's already working out.
I mean, like I said, I think that, you know, for the first draft and the time frame in which he came in, you figure he just got in February, and they had the draft there in April. There wasn't a lot of due diligence done. I mean, I couldn't imagine enough, you know, to constitute, you know, really a big, you know, to look down on the draft. They didn't have a lot of time, but now I got a full season. The scouting staff that he wants to have in place is in place. His ideas, now he can put those in. Now he understands exactly what type of offense and defense Gus Bradley wants to have in and get the type of players that fit into it. I would look for this draft to be even better, because now they got the time to really put in the work, and they formulated a plan as to what they want to do. I look forward to seeing how things turn out going forward when they bring in these new players.
And like you said, the key is don't miss. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Michael in Fleming Island. Michael, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to say that I appreciate you guys. And I wanted to mention something. A lot of people haven't mentioned, look at the teams this year that we've played. Like, you know, say we've got San Francisco coming up. We played Seattle. We played Kansas City, which is undefeated. Denver, undefeated. So what about all the teams that we play? Nobody takes that into consideration.
Yeah, it's been a tough schedule. I mean, looking down the list, Kansas City, like you said, undefeated. Oakland, not so much, but, you know, they didn't play well. Seattle in Seattle, nearly impossible to win there. You have Indy, who's probably going to win the AFC South. The Rams, not so much, but then Denver. again, undefeated, and the Chargers, who are borderline playoff team. So, yeah, it's been a tough schedule. San Francisco, a year off the Super Bowl, looks like they could be going back to the playoffs again this year. Yeah, it's not an easy schedule this year.
No, you know, even aside from those rosters looking a little better than the Jaguars, after the San Francisco game, it will be four coaches that have taken teams to Super Bowls that Gus Bradley, as a rookie head coach, has faced. So even for him as a play caller, as an organizer, as a manager of a team, this will be the first time. I mean, he had a tough road in trying to prepare. You know, right off the rip, you get Andy Reid.
Yep.
Then you got to go. You see Mr. Fox. I mean, even Carroll, he's been in this league a long time. He saw some serious big-time head coaches that have, you know, putting those games together. Even for himself, it was a significant challenge just as a head coach.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Kevin in McClenny. Kevin, how you doing today, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Got a question for you. You know, we talked about the quarterbacks that are out there, the running backs, but Jacksonville has a whole lot of picks. And do you think this is a better year for the picks? And I thought last year was pretty weak.
At what position? And just in general, or like the quarterbacks?
In general, because I mean, what do they have? Like 10 picks?
Yeah, they got a bunch, and you don't see too many teams use all their picks. I think they're going to use a lot of those to trade up. I mean, you can look at if they have the first overall pick, that means they'll probably have the first overall pick, maybe second at very worst, depending on ties and things like that in the second round. So you could see them using some of those later draft picks, moving back into the first round and getting another first round talent quality player.
Yeah, I think they're going to do what's necessary. Just like we just mentioned about the head coach and him being kind of young players and a young coach, I think is not a good mix. They're going to go out in the draft and get some new guys, I'm sure. I think some veterans need to be in here to kind of help these young guys understand how to get this work done. I mean, not to take anything away from Bradley, but he hasn't taken a team any place at all. So he does him himself. This is a learning process for him. So if you bring in a couple of veterans that have actually, you know, played for a guy like Andy Reid, played when Shanahan won some games, played for a Marty Scheid. I mean, just guys that have had some success.
That's some
in
leaders that can tell guys how to do it right.
Yeah, because the guys you got in here now, Roy Miller played in Tampa. He ain't done nothing. He haven't been around success. You know, even Pozlesny, he came down here. Man, he was at Buffalo. He had no success. No, you know, he hadn't been any place. Babbin, he was with the Eagles. I mean, it was with Andy Reid, but there wasn't a successful team.
He wasn't with them when they were successful.
The best of Andy. You know what I mean? So, you know, even I think he was even there when Andy had to spend some time out, but. You know, I think that would go bode well for the team also, is to bring in some guys that have been around successful atmospheres to help some of these young guys be able to emulate what it takes to be a winner in this league.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Steve on his way home from the game. Steve, what did you think of the game?
Well, I tell you, I've been a season ticket holder since you first got the team, you know, I love football. I love going to the games. I love the whole experience of being at the games. But I'm going to ask you guys a question. It's kind of why I'm calling. Let me ask you a question. Isn't the reason for football in Jacksonville to provide entertainment for the fans? Isn't it all about entertainment?
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay, so if that's the case, and entertainment is for the entertainment of the fans, both watching the games and being at the games. Well, I applaud Shad Khan for the game day experience changes he's made. I think since he's been here, the game day experience, the whole peripheral experience has been wonderful. But the game day experience inside the stadium stinks. And for a variety of reasons. I understand, I listen to all your talk radio, I understand new coach, do everything, new in front office. I understand all that stuff. But if the bottom line is this is about entertainment, and the season's over for all intents and purposes for us, we're playing for our draft picks next year now, then, and I'm not part of the Tebow mania, I just pose a question. Why not just sign him for the rest of the season, put him in there, have a full stadium for the rest of the season. Everybody makes money. All the vendors makes money. The TV makes money. The fans have fun at the games. The Gator fans, everybody has fun. And just put him in there for the rest of the season. the game day experience is horrible with Henny and Gabbert.
Why don't we make a trade with the Eagles for Michael Vick? I mean, he's an entertaining player. You there?
You know, it's about going and winning.
Yeah, his phone's breaking up. Yeah, I would like to hear the reaction.
Games, man. You got
to
win football games.
Winning's the most entertaining thing at all.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. You know, right now I don't think that Tim Tebow brings enough to a football team to constitute a win. Now, even if he came out and you saw the team and he's out there playing, it's only a matter of a couple of games, but goes right back to the same deal because there's no winning done.
Well, I liken it to like the circus or something like that. Not saying that Tim Tebow's a circus, but when you have something in town only once a year, yeah, you're going to fill up the stadium. Yeah, it's going to look impressive. But if you have to go through that every single week in every home game, it's going to lose its luster after a while. Nobody's going to go to the circus and sit there and say, I'm going to go to the circus every week. I'm getting season tickets to the circus. You go once in a while when it's there, and you know, that's why.
You know, and the argument for all these folks as Tebow guy, people will be in Denver and going to the playoffs. Now, one of the things you got to recognize that Denver had a heck of a defense. They had about three or four Pro Bowlers on that defense. Now you're talking about the 32nd ranked defense in the league. Tim Tebow was always throwing interceptions. It would have been more ugly to have him here right now than it would be with Henny and Gabbert. They haven't thrown as many interceptions and turned the ball off and terrible throws as what you saw with Tim Tebow. That's not the answer, and I wish people would just go ahead and move on beyond that, because that's not going to happen, and start focusing on these guys that are out there in the NCAA right now that do have the potential to be here right now. Tim Tebow, it's a wrap. He's not coming, man. He's not coming.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. The final word from Marco Coleman. No Tebow.
No Tebow.
We'll be back right after this on Jaguars Radio. This is the Scoreboard Show, brought to you by PRI Productions. Final segment here, 355-NFL-1. Going back to the phones with Pat in Fleming Island. Pat, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Can I be a little negative with you?
You guys, be a lot negative, please.
That was really hard to watch. And I got to tell you, I know you guys know Gus Bradley, and his enthusiasm is great. But that's the most undisciplined football team I've ever seen. Babin cannot line up on sides, and he's probably been playing football for 20 years. The penalties are incredible. It is from being undisciplined. Pull somebody out. If you can't line up on side, get out of there until you can. We're 0-7. It's not like we need you in there every time. You know, how about a little accountability to some of these guys? Our offense goes backwards. We turn a 1st and 10 into a 3rd and 30. I mean, I'm amazed at all of this. We get sacked 6 times. We only had the ball 8 times. There's so much undisciplined.
Telling stat right there.
Yeah, that's my man. That was a good stat.
Yeah.
Taking it next level with that. I like that.
You know, it's so hard to watch these guys. When we do have a good play, it's negated by a penalty. It's been that way all season long. Today we had a 3rd and 7. And Gates lined up uncovered. We had a cornerback out on the outside, and the safety was playing about 12 yards back, and Gates ran down 8 yards, turned around, caught the ball, and we tackled him for a 1st down. He was uncovered. I was sitting there watching it going, watch Gates. Watch this. There's nobody even on him. I'm a nobody. If I can see that, where are the defensive coaches? I think our coaching, he may have enthusiasm. I'm seeing nothing. The offensive coordinator, that, you know, first of all, Miami was terrible when he was there, and I see nothing out of this offense. I mean, it is so unimaginative. You know, Blackman is back, and yes, the guy is great. I make no fuss about that. But everything else about it, you know, no misdirection. He's not taking the ball from behind the center. And so when he hands off, we're already 3 yards deep, and we got no offensive line, so we make maybe a yard. It's so hard to watch.
He said it all, I think, right there. Yeah. I mean, you got young guys playing, but Marco, you keep saying it over and over again. You're 0-7 now. Time to just open it up and let it all fly. I mean, why not? What do you got to lose?
You don't have nothing to lose. I mean, go ahead and put Denard back there. Do the double reverse.
There was a Denard sighting this game.
Yeah, but at running back, really? I mean, come on, man.
A nice play.
There's
nice little
absolutely
run.
No reason why at this point in time to not go ahead and experiment with some of the things you've drawn up in your mind as an offensive coordinator and dreamed, I wonder if this would work. Why not? I mean, I was going to come to Gus Bradley, man. You know what, Coach? I've been dreaming about this play for 15 years, man. I think it'll work. I mean, why not do the swinging gate on the PAT and try to get something in and get seven? I mean, those are the type of things that you try right now. I mean, taking those risks. And as it pertains to the undiscipline of the players, I do think it may come to the point. I think the way that Gus Bradley sounded after this game, that they're going to see a different side of him going over out to London. And it's about that time. He's been pretty lenient and allowed a real mild atmosphere. I think at this point, especially because it's veterans that are making these mistakes, it's not these young dudes. I mean, you got a lot of young guys, but you're talking about Babin, you're talking about Marks, you're talking about guys that have been in this league. There's no way they should be making these mistakes. So,
I said it before. If I was Gus Bradley, exactly what I would do, I'd be calling up Virgin Airlines right now and say, take out all the in-flight entertainment, I'm giving you tapes to San Francisco. Take out all the food, I'm giving you nothing but Rice-A-Roni. And on the headphones, when you plug them into the seat, the only thing that's going to be playing is If You're Going to San Francisco. By the time they get off that plane, they're going to hate San Francisco so much, they cannot wait to punch somebody wearing a 49ers jersey in the mouth. That's how they're going to win. Get on that flight, watch game film, listen to it. If You're Going to San Francisco, and eat Rice-A-Roni.
Whatever it takes, baby.
It's all it's going to take to win. I'm telling you right now, you do that, I guarantee the Jags are going to come fired up to hit somebody in the mouth.
Get it going.
So, Marco, before we head out today, final thoughts from the game and a look ahead to San Francisco and London.
Well, you know, like I said, it's got to be a different mindset as the way that Gus Bradley is bringing things to the team. Right now, it's too many penalties, too many of these things. They're obviously not responding to this nice guy. You know what I mean? You got to go ahead and give him all a wedgie. You know, it's
you
about
need the
that
do
time.
Your job guy. We heard the soundbite over and over. We need that guy now.
And now it's got to be yanking people out. This is the last part of the season because you want to see some of these guys. The evaluation is still going on. If you're not getting it done, it's time, especially make, even if it's a veteran, get that guy out of there. Man, it's time to shake and ruffle some feathers like you see with a new coach. You figure so many times you see guys like the Jimmy Johnsons, that these guys, when they take over teams, they're not liked by the rest of by the team. Only the guys that like them are the guys that they just drafted. They love them because it's the first time you brought me in here. But if you've been here before, oh, you're probably going to have an issue with me because I didn't come here to make friends with you. I came to win football
games.
You
need to change around a two-way team into something better.
And so now, I mean, I think that may have to be a change. See this defense, you know, with that front seven where you got all the veterans, take a bigger leadership role and take it on your shoulders and get something done. This is going to be a tough game. You know, they're going to be physical. If you come out there half-stepping Roy Miller, you're going to get get snot knocked. I mean, it's got to be a more physical team and not look at this thing as a vacation. Yep. You're still at work.
They are up San Francisco right now 24-0 on Tennessee in the third quarter.
Leave your camcorders at home. You make enough money to come back to London when the offseason comes to go do some touring. You know what I mean? This is not a vacation. You know, you're 0-7. This is not a time to go to London talking about, I can't wait to get there to go have some fish and chips. No, man. You know what I mean? The best you can, stay on your routine from, you know, when you're at home. And it's business as usual. You're just changing the area, changing the time zone, but the work still got to get done. So hopefully they'll take that approach and it shows on the field next week.
I hope so, man. Rice-A-Roni and game film.
Yeah. That's it.
Thanks everybody for listening. Marco, give out your Twitter account even though you don't tweet.
MCD Live. I'm telling you, this week I will be tweeting. By the end of, before this week is out, it's my phone. I think it's the device, man. I promise you.
Mine is jgray_wokv. I'll be tweeting live from London all week. I'll let you know if anybody takes my advice and serve some Rice-A-Roni and watch game film on that flight. I'll let everybody know. Thanks for listening to the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Back again next week here on Jaguars Radio.